I'm unclean, I'm unrighteous, I'm dried out, and I'm unstable. You say, well, why in all the world would Almighty God listen to a guy or a woman who's unclean, unrighteous, dried out, and unstable?
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we can't let you off the hook. You got to answer that question.
Why would God answer the prayer of such a person?
Right.
Well, there's only one word answer, and that's grace. That's the only explanation. But the reason for that fourfold description of absolute desperation is that that is precisely how Isaiah the prophet describes our own condition when we're praying. This is very important. When I pray, I'm not heard because of some righteousness or something that I've done that is going to be found in me. When we come before the Lord, we come empty-handed. We come as those who are beggars seeking bread. We come looking for His mercy and for His grace. It's wonderfully liberating to understand that. How many people have thought, I can't come to God until I've sorted myself out enough to be able to come? Well, if you go on that basis, you'll never come to God. You'll never pray. You'll never become a Christian. We have to come as we are. And it's really good news that however desperate and however weak, God is ready to hear us and receive us when we truly come to Him.
It is a great truth for us to hold on to as we open up our Bibles and continue our message, Restore Prayer. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
Now think about this. Many Christians are persuaded in their minds that God can resurrect them from the dead and bring them into everlasting heaven after they've died. But they're not convinced that God is able to give them victory over what they call a besetting sin while they're still alive. Think about that. We talk about our besetting sins, our pride, our laziness, our indiscipline, our lust, our greed. What happens is that because we know so little of the power of God in our lives, we find a way of accommodating to live with our sins. We say, that's just the way I am. I can't change, at least in this area. And therefore, we quickly lose hope. When Isaiah says, oh Lord, come down and make your name known, come like the fire that sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, he is saying, Lord, come in a way that causes us to experience your power in our lives. And again, you find in the New Testament that this is precisely how Paul prayed for ordinary Christians like us in Ephesus. Ephesians and chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20 there. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he's called you and so that you will know the incomparably great power of God for us who believe. Because the power of God for us who believe, Paul says, is like the mighty power he exercised when he raised Jesus from the dead and caused him to ascend into heaven. Now, Isaiah knows from his own experience that the vast majority of, quote, believing people have no sense of that power of God being at work in their lives, which is why they're always complaining about being so weakened, incapable of victory. So I'm wanting to stretch your vision to pray bigger prayers. I'm wanting to ask you that alongside praying for your family and praying for your friends and all the details of personal life that are absolutely appropriate to bring before God, I'm wanting to ask you to pray with me for a movement of God in our lives and among our people and through our ministry that would cause his felt presence to change our lives and to change the lives of other people as well. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would make your name known. Oh, that you would be among us in a way that's like fire that causes twigs to blaze and causes water to boil. Oh, that you'd be here in a way that changes lives. I'm asking if you would pray that with me yourself. I'm asking you to pray that in your family, to get a bigger horizon of what we can ask from such a great king. It's great to pray for all the folks who are in hospital. Let's do that, but let's do more than that. Let's learn to pray at another level from Isaiah the prophet, who cried out to God, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, make your name and your nature known." What to pray. Now, here's the second thing. Said there would just be two parts here. The second, we talked about what we should pray. I want in the second part to look briefly at how we should pray. I want to be really practical here because there are some wonderful things to learn from the model prayer that Isaiah has here for us. And I can summarize the point perhaps best this way, that effective prayer rises from confidence in the goodness of God and confidence in the relationship that we have with God. In other words, if you're going to pray like Isaiah prayed, it will come from these things. It will flow from them. You've got to know and grasp and see the goodness of God, and you've got to know and grasp and see the relationship that by God's grace, through Jesus Christ, is yours with Him. How to pray. Here you are, you're sitting sometime next week and you're saying, I want to spend some time in prayer. How do I get started? Where do I get going? Well, I want to suggest that you begin by filling your mind with the goodness of God. In fact, that's one of the reasons why reading the Bible is such a helpful way of getting us moving in this whole business of prayer. Because in order to pray effectively on any given day, I have to fill my mind with a fresh sense and knowledge of the abundant goodness of God. And I want you to notice how Isaiah does this. It's very striking. If you look at the context of Isaiah 64, you will see it clearly. It's almost like watching an athlete, you know, in the long jump, and there's this long run-up, and you see this athlete, and he's gathering pace as he goes along the run-up, and then finally hits the board, and then he's off, and he's airborne as he takes into the air. Well, look at the run-up to this great prayer in chapter 64. It begins as far back as chapter 63 in verse 7. And the run-up is all about Isaiah filling his mind with the goodness of God. Verse 7 of chapter 63, "I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all that the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and his many kindnesses." And he goes on to list all the works for which God is to be praised. Now, here's the interesting thing. Isaiah is not actually praying at this point. He's not speaking to God. He doesn't begin speaking to God until the middle of verse 14. Suddenly, in the middle of verse 14, he starts speaking you language, and his eyes are up towards the Lord. He says, "This is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name." But he takes off in verse 14. His run-up is in verses 7 to 13. What's he doing in these verses? He's preparing his mind to pray. And you prepare to pray by filling your mind with the goodness of the Lord. Effective prayer arises from seeing how good God is. Faith, we learned this a few weeks ago, is the conviction that God is always up to something good. And so if you want to pray with faith, you must begin by filling your mind with the great truths of the gospel. That this God to whom you're coming is the God who loves you. This God of whom I'm going to ask great things has already sent his Son into the world for me. And so if he would send his Son into the world for me, then why would he withhold from me any good thing? This God knew me before I was ever born into the world and planned in love for every moment of my life and my eternity, and it's to him that I'm coming. Now, you fill your mind with the goodness of God, you will find that things begin to move and you have a greater liberty as you launch yourself into prayer. It's almost as if chapter 64 bursts out of Isaiah's mind being filled with this catalog of the goodness of God. Anyone who comes to God, anyone who seeks him, the book of Hebrews says, chapter 11 and verse 6, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Restore Prayer. Now we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. This is part of a larger series called Restore My Soul. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can also order a copy of the entire series on CD. Ask about Restore My Soul when you call 1-877-OPEN-365 or come to the website, openthebible.org. Again, the phone number is 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Fill your mind with the goodness of God. That will launch you into prayer. And then here's the second thing. The how of prayer, plead the relationship that you have with God. That's very important. Let me tell you straight up, and this is from my own experience, but it is honestly universal Christian experience. When you pray, if you begin praying this year in a serious way, you will very quickly feel your unworthiness. And that's precisely where people get discouraged and quit and give up and don't come back. I want you to know that if you feel your unworthiness when you pray, we all do. Coming into a holy place makes you aware that you are an unholy person. And Isaiah felt the same way. You see it in verse 6 of chapter 64. All of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteousness, he's including himself here, all our righteous acts, rather, are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. It's very quickly, four pictures of our human condition. Isaiah says, here's what we're like when we come before God. When I come before God, I come as a leper, as one who is unclean, as someone who, in and of myself, I have no right to enter the presence of God. That's the first picture. Second picture is rags. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. In other words, the best things that we do, like preaching, serving, worship leading, the best things we do are never as good as they appear. Because our own hearts are so mixed up in so many ways. All our righteousness is like filthy rags. Augustine said, I dare not, he said to God, I dare not commend to you the work of my hands, because if I did, you'd probably see more sins in them than merit. The best things I do are mixed with that which is unworthy. So Isaiah is aware of this. Then he uses a third picture, like the leaf. We all shrivel up like a leaf. Boy, that's so helpful. I think it means this. Isaiah felt worn out when he came to God, exhausted. I'm like a dry leaf. I lack energy. I lack life. I don't feel I've got anything to give in prayer. And then the fourth image is like the wind. Like the wind, our sins sweep us away. What a picture that is of the power of sin. Here we are struggling with the same sins we struggled with before. And we are not prevailing against the world, but the world is prevailing against us. So Isaiah comes to God and he feels this fourfold unworthiness. He says, oh God, I come to you and this is what I feel. This is the reality that I see. I'm unclean, I'm unrighteous, I'm dried out, and I'm unstable. You say, well, why in all the world would Almighty God listen to a guy or a woman who's unclean, unrighteous, dried out, and unstable? Why in all the world would God listen to you or to me? And that's why I'm saying when you come into the presence of God, you not only fill your mind with the goodness of God, but you plead your relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ. I just want you to see how Isaiah does this in these moments. Verse 8, he pleads the relationship he has with God as Father. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. That supremely is the relationship that we have with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you see what he's saying? Lord, I come to you. I come to you as an unclean, unrighteous, dried out, unstable person. And yet I'm asking you to hear me today, and here's the reason. Because you are my Father. In Jesus Christ, you have adopted me to be your son and your daughter. For his sake, listen to my prayer. Don't let guilt kill your prayer life. The only sinless prayers that were ever made were the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all other prayers hang on the mercy of God. We plead the relationship that we have with God in Jesus Christ. I come to him and I say, the reason I'm asking you to listen to my prayer is simply that in Jesus' name you are, O God, my Father. You come to him like that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never turn you away. He will hear your prayer. And here's the very last thing. I want you to notice that there's a second marvelous description that Isaiah has of our relationship with God, and the two must always be kept together. He describes his relationship with God not only as our Father, but as the potter. Verse 8, we are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Now, when Isaiah, entering the presence of God, says, you're the potter, he is inviting God to make whatever God chooses of Isaiah's life. He's coming to God and he's saying, here I am. Now, you're not only my Father, by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, but because I am his and therefore I am yours, my life is surrendered for you to do in this life, with this life, and through this life, whatever you choose. You're the potter. I am the clay. We begin as a church praying like this. What it means is we're saying, Lord, this is your church. And as best we know how, with all our hopes and dreams, we want to be wholly available to you to do whatever is your purpose, whatever you desire to do through us here and around the world, because you are not only the gracious Savior, you are our sovereign Lord. In other words, prayer that seeks the presence of God recognizes that prayer's not about you trying to bend God to your desires. It's not you and me trying to get hold of God to get what we want done. It is, in the last analysis, us coming before this gracious Father who is also our sovereign Lord and saying to him, Lord, you are the one who must shape and mold my life and make of this life not what I think it should be, but what you plan for it to be. You start praying like that, you'll be a different person a year from now. We start praying like that. Lord, this is your church, and you are to shape us, we ask, and mold us and make us whatever you want us to be here and around the world. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. That's a different church. Boy, this is very simple, but it is earth-shakingly profound. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, O God, and come down. Oh, that you would come down among us in such a way that lives are changed by a felt knowledge of your love and an experience of your power. And oh God, we come to you filling our minds with your awesome goodness in the gospel. We come to you recognizing our own unworthiness, but we're pleading the relationship you've formed with us yourself. You're our Father in Jesus Christ. And you are the potter. And our greatest desire is that you would make of this life and make of this church what you will. I guess I've just got two questions. One is, are you ready to pray Isaiah's prayer? The second is, do you think you're ready for Isaiah's prayer to be answered? Of course, it was answered. Wonderfully answered when God's people came back from exile. Wonderfully answered at a much greater level when God rent the heavens and came down in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are living in anticipation of the day when its ultimate fulfillment will be complete. And the trumpet will sound, and he will rend the heavens, and he will come down, and every eye will behold him. And on that day, may it be that we are ready, prepared to rise and to meet him with joy, seeing face to face the one we have loved, worshipped, and known heart to heart.
Two powerful questions at the end of today's message. Are you ready to pray Isaiah's prayer? And are you ready for Isaiah's prayer to be answered? You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called Restore Prayer, part of a larger series called Restore My Soul. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, as you give a gift and support Open the Bible this month, we want to say thank you by sending you the Heaven Bundle, which is the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn. Colin, your book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and then five copies of your booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? But I'm going to pick one of those to talk about for a second here, Colin. What makes Randy Alcorn's book on heaven so special?
Oh, well, that is the classic book, I think, on heaven. It's certainly my go-to book. It's beautifully set out with questions that people are actually asking, and it applies the scripture to our minds and to our hearts. It's the kind of book that reading it will stimulate your anticipation of heaven. It will help you to have something of a sense of what's very, very hard for us to picture and to imagine. I mean, he gets into questions like, you know, will heaven be boring? Will there be animals in heaven? And what about relationships in heaven? You know, knowing each other in heaven, what will relationships actually be like? These are fascinating and important questions. And, you know, the Bible says that we should set our minds on things above. We're to think about heavenly things because that will inspire us to live the Christian life well now. And Randy Alcorn's book on heaven is a book that really does help us to anticipate the joys that are lying ahead.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this Randy Alcorn book as a part of our Heaven Bundle. It's not only this book, but also Pastor Colin's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? A gift of any amount, and that is our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org, or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Millions of people really aren't interested in God. So what do you think God would say to them? Find out on the next Open the Bible Weekend.